the season as we focus on the person, the power, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. There's a passage of scripture that not only teaches us about the power of the Spirit, but it is one that the Lord has used to anchor my soul in times of frustration. And I want you to hear a reading that I think is powerful and relevant for us as we seek to grow in our walk with the Lord. It comes to us from the pen of the Apostle Paul. And if you journey in your New Testament to the book of Galatians, one of those small letters by Paul, it's only 6 chapters, and I encourage you to read that book in its entirety in your devotions this week. The context for what we preach covers the whole scope of all 6 chapters, but for the sake of preaching and time, I want to read in your hearing, beginning in chapter 6 and verse number 7. If you're able to turn to Galatians in the 6th chapter and beginning in the 7th verse, we ask those who are physically able to stand with us as we reverence the reading of God's holy word. Terrence, could I have a little bit more on the monitors? Thank you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Here are some words that ought to be strangely familiar to us who even haven't been in Bible study. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want you to hang your hat on that 9th verse. Simply reminds us, let us not grow weary while doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do me a favor, before you sit down, I want you to play preacher. Find a neighbor who looks like they want to talk to you. Tell them, simply say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh neighbor,
ain't no quit in me.
Ain't no quit in me.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Ain't no quit in me. I think I can stand today and say, without fear of debate, division, or even contradiction, that being a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who loves the Lord, attends church, reads your Bible, that following Jesus has its good days and its bad days. I don't want to discourage anyone who's on the brink of joining church today, but I do want to be honest with you that following the Lord has some ups and some downs, some highs and a whole lot of lows. For certain, there are moments when the joy of Jesus and the grace of God overwhelm us and we feel like shouting hallelujah. But then there are those moments when we realize that the call, the command, the commitment of God on our life requires us to do some things that are not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. Because when you read scripture and you don't edit out the verses you don't like, you will find that God commands us in Christ to do some things that are not easy. Praying for them that despitefully use you, that ain't easy. Forgiving somebody 70 times 7, come on, Jesus, that's a lot. Biting your tongue and only saying what glorifies God when you would much rather open your lips and give somebody detailed instructions on how to get where they need to go. That ain't easy. That whole turning your cheek if you get slapped thing. I've been walking with God 40 years and I ain't figured that one out yet. There's God calls us to do some things with others that are not always love them that hate you. Pray for them that use you. Be kind to them that manipulate you. Now here, I could do it, God, if I only had to do it every now and then. I can do some of that if I only have to do it once or twice a year. For a moment here and there. But the challenge is that God calls us to walk right with others continuously, every day, all the time. And if we can be honest, it is not easy to be righteous in this world every day. Can I argue my case? Because we see righteousness as an investment in other people. So when I'm right by you, I just expect you to do right by me. I mean, if I speak to you and I don't like you, you ought to be Christian enough to speak to me when you don't like me. There's some reciprocity here. If I stay out of your stuff, my expectation is that you're going to stay out of mine. If I forgive you and let your stuff go, then you ought to forgive me and let mine go. And the trouble with that is that all of us know what it's like to try to be righteous, to do the right thing, to take the high road, only for it not to be reciprocated. You're holier than I am. You got more Holy Ghost. So I'm going to testify on behalf of those that still got some BC in them. Before Christ, before church, I got some remnant of my sin in me. I'm saved, but I ain't delivered from everything. You. So on behalf of us that know we're still a work in progress, it's hard being the peacemaker with someone who likes to fight. It's hard taking the high road with someone that likes the gutter. It's hard being Christ-like to someone who's demonic. It's hard biting your tongue with someone who can't shut their mouth. It's hard being mature with someone who always wants to be childish. And if the truth be told, you can do right for so long that you reach a place where you decide to quit being right. This ain't working. They're not changing. I'm not being rewarded for it. Have you ever reached a place where you just want to tell God, you know what, with this. Like, God, you just gonna have to forgive me today. You just gonna have to give me a pass because I'm about to let her have exactly what she deserves. I'm preaching to somebody today. Somebody, you came to church and you're right on the brink. You made up in your mind tomorrow you're going to snap, crackle, and pop on somebody because they just deserve to get told. Have you ever wanted to give up on being righteous? Have you ever just wanted to do things your own way? Have you ever gotten tired of trying to take the high road and it never leads where you think it should go? I know somebody's been there because one of them's in the pulpit. And this week, I was ready to quit everything. And some members were going to be told some things they did not want to hear. The deacons were going to vote me out this week if I had done what I wanted to do. And in the midst of wanting to quit on doing the right thing, here come God whispering in my ear the one verse of scripture that always turns me. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hear this verse that's more important than God works all things together for good. More important than the Lord is my light and my salvation. More grounding than they that wait upon the Lord. I want you in moments of frustration, when you're ready to give up on doing the right thing, I want you to hear the Apostle Paul in God's voice whisper in your ears, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Because what Paul is saying to each and every one of us, you got to get that quit out your spirit. You can't give up on righteousness too easily. You can't walk away from doing the right thing. You can't be so frustrated that you stop doing what God has called and commanded you to do, living how God expects you to live, loving as God expects you to live, being kind, being patient, praying, being nice, helping others. The Lord says, listen, don't ever give up in doing the right thing. And here's how Paul presses it. He says, the reason you can't give up on doing the right thing, watch this, is because the Holy Spirit will help you hold on. Can I preach Pentecost right here? The power of the Holy Spirit is literally to help you be committed to doing righteousness when being righteous ain't easy. Watch what Paul says. Look at the language. Paul says, let us not grow weary. He speaks in the first person plural in this collective identity. He doesn't say, I won't grow weary. He doesn't say, you shouldn't go weary. This is what he says, let us not grow weary. Now, if I haven't lost you, the question you ought to be asking, who is us? Who is the us Paul is speaking about? The us are the Christians in Galatia to whom he's writing. And what Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, the First Baptist Church in Galatia, he said, listen, let us not give up on doing the right thing. Now, why does Paul tell the church in Galatia, don't give up on doing the right thing? As a matter of fact, he pushes it in verse 10 and he says, and make sure you do right by everybody in the church. That the very first place you should not grow weary in doing right is with the body of Christ Jesus. Why does Paul press being righteous in the midst of some Christians? Well, you need to know what was going on in Galatia. Can I teach Bible? When you read Galatians, you'll find out that when Paul left that city, another group of Christians came in contradicting Paul's teachings. It was a group of Christians called Judaizers. Let the church say Judaizers. What are Judaizers? Judaizers were Christians who were first Jews. And they believed that Christianity was a sect, S-E-C-T, of Judaism. And therefore they argued that if a Gentile wanted to become a Christian, they first had to become a Jew, which meant that you had to abide by the Mosaic dietary laws and the Mosaic laws about circumcision. So when Paul left the Gentiles in Galatia who had confessed Christ, the Judaizers came behind him and said, listen, y'all aren't Christian because you're eating ribs. And you're not circumcised. So in order to be a Christian, you got to do what we tell you to do. And Paul realizes the church in Galatia is splintering. They're fighting. They're fussing. Every time saints get together, something ugly jumps off. When the saints gather in church, some mean things are said. Some division creeps up. Some facts and cliques begin to break out. And people are now not loving each other. So Paul says, listen, don't ever give up doing right by other people in church. Paul says, I'm pressing you to do right with other saints. Why does Paul push doing right with other church folk. Because Paul knew what you and I know. Church can get ugly. Church can be mean. Don't look at nobody. Don't. The longer you come to church, the sooner or later you're going to find out the church folk ain't always Christ-like. Can I just help you? I know you want to join today. We're going to get you in a minute. But I want to give you full disclosure. If you come to church long enough, you're going to find out the church people are people. Bible in hand, Baptist wearing, shouting, Amazing Grace singing, but they are still people. And if I know people like I know people, people can act a people on you. At some moment, an usher is not going to smile. At some moment, you're going to say good morning and get nothing in return. At some moment, the preacher's going to tell you, touch your neighbor and say something. You're going to reach out and your neighbor's going to look at you and say, you better not. And Paul says, listen, I need you all in Galatia to learn, never give up, doing right, even when church folk get ugly. And how do you do that? He's arguing from chapter 5 into chapter 6. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. That the power of the Holy Spirit is to give you the strength to be committed to righteousness when righteousness is not easy. That the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church is not found in how many people shout, how many people jump, how many people fall out at the altar, how many people talk in tongues. That's not the sign. The sign of the Holy Spirit is when someone has left a bad taste in your mouth in church and you come back anyway. Can I prove you the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the strength that keeps you in the choir when they don't give you the solo. The Holy Spirit is what gives you the strength to serve when they don't elect you chair. Can I show you where the real strength of the Holy Spirit is? It ain't in the sanctuary. I'm gonna show you where the Holy Spirit is. Ready? In the overflow. The folk that came didn't get in the sanctuary, but stayed anyhow because the Holy Spirit would not let them walk out the door. Because the Holy Spirit says, stay with it even when it's easier to give up being righteous because God has called you here. Now, this is going to get a little deep. So Paul says, listen, in order to press through, you've got to learn to stay connected and committed to church even when church gets ugly. Why does Paul encourage us to begin the journey of righteousness by being committed to church? Why does Paul say, listen, here's how you're going to grow in your walk when you learn not to give up on church? Why is it important that we learn to stay committed in church even when church gets ugly? You got to remember why you come to church. Church, it's deep. Church on Sunday is meant to get you ready for Monday. When you come to church, the Lord wants to fill you with what you need to make it through Wednesday. When you come to church, the Lord already knows what Thursday's gonna bring. So the Lord brings you into the church to try to get your soul ready, your mind ready, your heart ready for what you're going to experience in the week. So here it is. Why do you have to deal with church ugly? Because if you can deal with an usher not speaking to you on Sunday, then you can handle a crazy coworker on Monday. If you can stay in worship in overflow, then ain't no demonic supervisor gonna push you outside of the peace of God. If you can deal with a nasty alto, then surely you can handle all the demons on your job, all the crazy folk in your house, all the neighbors that get on your nerve. You've got to push through. Tell somebody, tell them Sunday's just getting you ready. It's just getting you ready. Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, but do well to the people of faith, because the Holy Spirit will help you hold on. And if you can get through Sunday, you can make it through Friday. Let us not grow weary. Holy Spirit's going to help us. Here's the second one. Because in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Due season. That word due in the original Greek is the word idios, and the word due is not really a good translation of idios. Idios is used in the New Testament 113 times. 61 of those times, it's translated in a different way. 61 of those times, idios is translated own. O-W-N. So read verse 9 again. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in our own season we shall reap and faint not. I've got a season where God will cause me to reap. I've got a season when God will return everything I've put out. I've got a season. Would you know somebody tell them, I've got a season. I've got a season. There's a window when God knows it's time for me to reap. That Paul argues this, that the reason you ought to keep doing right is because you know God will never let you do right and not reward you. That due season, my season, is on the way. Now, here's where God and I get in a little bit of an argument, because I get that there's due season. What I want to know is, when is it coming? I believe the Lord will reward. I'm just trying to figure out. And what bothers me is that in the world, I know how to identify the season. When the leaves turn, I know it's fall. When the rains come, it's spring. When the cold wind blows, it's winter. When the sun's up early and it's warm out, I know it's summer. I can identify those seasons. How do you identify due season? How do you know when the Lord is going to cause you to reap your righteousness? How do I know when God's going to repay me for being nice to them? Somebody say, that's a real question. That's a real question. There's a marker to let you know when you're about to enter due season. But you're not going to like it. Let me tell you how you know you're about to walk into due season. I've got to share with you how Paul writes verse 9 in the Greek, because the English translates so you don't see it. Verse 9 reads like this: let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The word weary and faint come from the same root. They're almost the same word. So here's a better way to read it. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap when we get weary. Okay, start again. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap when we get weary. Let us not give up on doing right, because in due season we will reap when we want to give up on doing what's right. How do you know you're about to enter due season? Because you're getting tired of doing right. How do you know you're almost at the breakthrough? Because you're at the brink. The breakthrough is on the other side of the brink, but you can't get to the breakthrough till you get to the brink, which means you got to push to the place where you feel like you just can't do it no more. And the Lord says, when you're at the place where you feel like you just can't do it anymore, that's not where you quit. That's where you push one more again, because the breakthrough is on the other side of the brink.
Okay.
I knew she wouldn't get it, and he'd miss it, and you wouldn't get it. So let me explain it like this. I'm back in the gym now, and I've working out with my trainer. His name is Justin, but I don't call him Justin. Okay. He gets a little upset with me, Marcia, because I call him Legion. Now. He clearly doesn't come to church enough to know why I call him Legion. I call him Legion. Legion, if you don't remember, in Mark 5, Jesus runs up on a man that is filled with demons. And Jesus asks the man his name, and he says, "My name is Legion." Legion is somebody filled with demons. I call my trainer Legion, because he is filled with demons. What he does to your pastor is demonic. I told him the other day we were working out. I said, "You ain't going to hell, but you're going to take a tour for what you did to me today." Take that. Don't ever send no one to hell. Just tell them they're going to take a tour. You're going to take a tour for a day. You're going to visit hell. So we're working out the other day, doing chest. And we're bench pressing. I got 185 on the bar. And he's like, "Okay, we got 10 reps and we're done." So I lift up 185 and started cranking them out. One and two. By three, I'm slowing down, and you know it's about to be a bad set. Four, I'm pushing up. And five, the weight is moving. By six, I'm praying that Jesus give me strength. By seven, I'm holding it, and I'm trying to keep my arms straight, and the weight just keeps coming down. I can't fight it. I can't stop it. It's coming down. And I'm getting mad because I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. And I'm like, "Hey." Man, get this thing off of me. It's coming down. He literally puts two fingers on the weight and starts playing like he's lifting it up. I'm struggling. My legs are kicking. I'm trying to push this thing up with all I got. I just pushed as hard as I could. He grabbed it, put it back on the rack, and said, "Good job." I got up mad. "Good job, my..." I'm sorry, I'm just being real. I said, "Man, I'm paying you to help me lift." He said, "No, you're paying me to make you strong. And in order to make you strong, I've got to let you struggle with something that's too heavy, so that when you push it up, you'll finally be able to handle it." Can I tell you about the God we serve? He's trying to make you strong. You've got to push through and get through. I says, "I'm making you strong by pushing you to the brink of wanting to quit, because every time you go to the brink goes further out. So what you couldn't handle then, you can easily handle now. Somebody, you've been through so much that your brink is so far out there, there's some stuff you ought to be able to handle right now that's just easy. What's this? Talking about me? I can handle that. Not liking me? I don't give a... The Lord has a way of making you stronger by pushing you to the brink. Let's not grow weary in doing right and doing well, because in due season, in our own time, we will reap if we faint not. He says the Holy Ghost will help you hold on. God is making you stronger. And watch this last one. And you will reap. Hear me, beloved. I say this without fear of contradiction. There is no way for you to do right by God and not reap. Now, the problem is that Paul uses a verse in chapter 6 that's probably one of the most misinterpreted verses in all the Bible. The saints know it. It goes like this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. The saints know that verse. That's the verse we use when we want God to get somebody. You know, someone's done you wrong, but because you Christian, you ain't gonna get them back, but you're gonna let them know. That's all right, God ain't mocked. Everything they done to me, the problem with that is that it establishes a form of Christian karma. Right? That what you sow, you reap. That's not what Paul is saying. We misinterpret that passage because it sounds good. But I'm going to argue with you that whatever a man sows is not always what a man reaps. Here it is, number one, because there's some stuff you sown. That you have never reaped. There ought to be a merciful amen right there. I've sown some dirt that God did not let me reap. I've sown some ratchet that God did not let me reap. I've sown some iniquity that God did not let me reap. Is there anybody here who knows that God kept you from reaping everything you sowed? That's the mercy of God. No, Paul says, it's not about what you reap. Keep on reading. He says, because if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you reap eternal life. The sowing is not about reaping what you've sown. It's not about what, it's about where. Here's what Paul wants the child of God to know. Sow into the spirit and not into the flesh. Let your works of righteousness be an investment in your spiritual life and not the fleshly life. The real gist is this. Why do you do what you do? Why are you nice to them that hate you? Why would you pray for someone who uses you? Why would you help someone who can't help you back? Paul says you can do it one of two ways. You can do it because you expect them to reciprocate. And the problem is when you sow into flesh, flesh can never reciprocate. Hear me, beloved. There are some people who are utterly incapable of reciprocating your righteousness. No matter how kind you are to them, they will never be kind to you. No matter how much you love them, they will never love you back. No matter how much you pray for them, they'll never pray for you. So I don't do it sowing into the flesh. I do it sowing into the spirit, which means my motivation for being righteous is not you. The reason I'm righteous is because I'm in relationship with him. So even if you're never kind, even if you never reciprocate, even if you never say thank you, even if you never extend an offering of help, I do it because I'm in relationship with God. And when I sow into the Spirit, I reap from the Spirit. It's a matter of motivation. When I do right to be right with God, I reap godly things. If I do it to be right with you, I'm always going to be frustrated. We reap from the Spirit. What do we reap from the Spirit? Chapter 6 is preceded by chapter 5. And in chapter 5, when Paul talks about the Spirit, he lists the fruit of the Spirit. That when you do right because you want to be right with God, you reap the things only God can give you. There are some things, beloved, people in church, on your job, and your family can never give you. Joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, steadfast, long-suffering. These are things God gives you that you can never get from someone else. Hear me. Peace is not a gift anyone can give you. It is something that only comes from the Spirit of God. So Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing. The Holy Spirit will help you hold on. In due season, we shall reap. God's going to push you to the brink. But the breakthrough is right next to the brink. And he said, make certain you know you will reap. Not from them, but from God. And God will give you what they never can. Would you bow with me? Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Lord, remind us that we can invoke the power of the Holy Spirit when we're frustrated with doing right and it seems like no one is responding. Remind us that we have a season with our name on it. But in order to walk in that place where you've helped us, we've got to get to the brink. And when we get to the brink, we get stronger. And Lord, let me know that reaping is coming. It may not be from him. It may not come from her. But it's always from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.